Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esquire Coaching Radio, where we help attorneys achieve unparalleled personal and professional success. And now here's your host, Anne Jenrette Thomas.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Esquire Coaching Radio Show. It's such a pleasure to be here with all of you today. As you know, Esquire Coaching is a national coaching and consulting firm that's dedicated to empowering lawyers to happily succeed in the business of law. To that end, we discuss the full range of topics from building business to getting a job to work-life balance and everything in between. Today, we have a very special guest, Maria Simon Esquire, who's going to talk to us about partners as parents, redefining having it all. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about women in the workplace that revolves around how women can fit into environments that have traditionally been fashioned by men. Today, Maria's going to talk to us about how they've tried to do, what we've tried to do is think about how a working mother would want to structure a business. And she and her partner, Ms. Geller, have formulated the Geller Law Group and did that, just that. They have created a firm that welcomes work-life balance, that welcomes them to have the ability to spend time with their children and be outrageously fantastic lawyers at the same time. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Ms. Maria Simon. Maria is a partner at the Geller Law Group, a law firm that maintains a philosophy that work-life balance is an attainable reality for its attorneys and team. Maria spearheads the firm's wills and trust practice and its divorce and family law practice, areas of law that go hand in hand with protecting families during extremely stressful times. She's a graduate of the University of Michigan and the American University Washington College of Law. Maria is a native Detroiter who now resides in Washington, D.C. with her family. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so exciting. I have to say, when I came across your article in the New York Times, which was published back in May, I was like, oh, we have to have this firm and Maria on this show to talk about this radical new step that you've done in creating really an avant-garde type of law firm. So kudos to you and Ms. Geller for getting this off the ground.
Well, thank you. It's interesting that this is a radical viewpoint on how to structure a law firm and the fact that we just want to have normal lives on top of being lawyers, which I guess is radical in the legal profession to a certain extent.
It is, unfortunately, it is. You know, we've been, as lawyers, we've been trained to just we've been trained to not prioritize family. We've been trained to put our careers first, our family lives and our personal lives second, which have resulted in, you know, a lot of, especially women lawyers, having to make some tough decisions on, you know, whether to get married, whether to have children, whether to delay children, et cetera. So this, what you're doing, it has been avant-garde. So let's dive right into these questions here. A traditional law firm is, as you know, it's set up around billable hours. How have you restructured the traditional model of a law firm, and how is your particular firm set up?
Well, we haven't gotten rid of the billable hours because that is how lawyers generate our income and revenue, is based on the billable hours. What we've done, though, for our staff and for our team and for ourselves is set aspirational goals of billables, because what we don't want is for anyone, our associates, to be churning a file because, oh, we have to make this requirement, otherwise something bad will happen to my job. And alternatively, we want the client to know that what we're doing and the amount of time that we're focusing on is really only the time that we're actually spending on it. So in that respect, focusing on billables, we've taken that kind of aspect out. The other thing that we've done is we've removed that FaceTime component. I know that at my last firm, while a wonderful place to really work, there was a FaceTime component. If I wasn't in the office, I felt guilty. It wasn't that, you know, I wasn't getting work done at home, but they expect you to be there. what we've done is done a decentralized version of an office. We have a office space that we utilize that when we have client meetings, I book a conference room and I'll stack them. Personally, I will stack client meetings all day long so that I get the most efficient use of my time as possible. And then I can work from home on the other days where I am, you know, maybe checking a client's will and drafting a client's will or writing an opposition to a summary judgment motion. By taking out that requirement for FaceTime that has been a central component of law firms, even when you're just sitting in your office with the door shut, we've given ourselves and our team that flexibility to say, hey, today I've got my son's two-year doctor's appointment from 11 to 1. No one's going to complain that I'm not in the office for during that period. Or, you know, I can be home and go to my child's birthday celebration at their school, come back and work. We've given ourselves that flexibility. So that's how we've set up our office while still having billable requirements or billable hours.
That makes a lot of sense. I think the flexibility is what's key. And you're right, you know, that billable hours is the bread and butter for most firms. So how about business development? In the traditional law firm environment, or at least maybe I should say the old school way, the way of developing business was to, you know, join a lot of country clubs and golf clubs and schmooze with expensive lunches and dinners and so forth. How do you all obtain business in your non-traditional environment?
Well, I will say that both my partner Rebecca and I are more likely than not to get a client from going to the playground or to a play date, music class, wherever we are, than from just the traditional notions of playing golf with someone. Also, probably because no one would want to play golf with me because I'm very bad. What we've done, which is true, we really like to think of ourselves as just general counsel for normal people. So in that vein, we pick up clients by just doing the normal things that we normally do without the focus on the expensive business development of fancy lunches, golf course outings, and the like, because people that we meet in our day-to-day need lawyers just as much as the major corporation who only, you know, might pick a lawyer based on who they know or who's taken them out to dinner or lunch. We really are just those people that you happen to know in town. Granted, a lot of our network is around parenting, just because we happen to be parents, but those are the people that we interact with the most. So we've just changed it from having to focus on nighttime events, fancy dinners out of the office, to the things that we're already doing. That's not to say that we don't have some business development events that we will handle for, you know, or host for our entire firm. But when we do, we make them accessible to everyone. We had in May a day at Rock Creek Park in D.C. where we invited our clients in D.C. to come. There was a moon bounce. There was a children's performer, a cookout. It was a kind of event that it was approachable and not something that you might typically think of for a law firm business development event.
I love what you're saying, because what you've done is you have very clearly identified, and this may have happened organically for you all, but you've clearly identified your ideal target market, your ideal client base, and how to relate with them, you know, in a way that matters to them. And so this, what you've just described is what I consider relationship-based marketing, and you've done an excellent job of being authentic with who you are and letting that authenticity naturally mold itself and grow into business relationships. I think that's a fantastic example. Now,
well, thank you. Oh,
what about?
I was just going to add to that. Oh, do you mind? Well, just to add to that, I know that recently I was talking to a client and asked why they contacted us. And they said, you know, this is a man. He said, I just talked to every single new dad that I knew, and you guys came up every single time. So it's just working those common, that common marketing and that commonalities that we all have, and seeing how do we develop that into a business relationship as opposed to, you know, trying to branch out into an area that is unfamiliar.
Well, quick question, because you did mention that your particular focus group is ordinary folks, for lack of a better word, you know, not the giant corporations and such. Do you think that a firm would be able to still have this non-traditional way plus, not, you know, more organic type of building relationships and client development if their target market were, let's say, larger corporations? Do you think that's possible?
You know, it depends. I'll say that. Mm. And what are we talking about for a larger corporation? We do have a lot of business clients that their yearly revenue is in the millions. They're not C corps that are publicly traded. But they are still just ordinary people who happen to run corporations. Maybe they're closely held family corporations, but we have a lot of those type of clients. So I think it depends on the type of client you're dealing with and what they're looking for in their lawyer. Again, I think a publicly held company is not going to want to hire us, and that's fine. I'm good with that because we offer different services for different people, and each different type of entity should have a lawyer that represents itself.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. Now, what about management? How do you manage your staff in your untraditional setting?
I emphasize communication more all the time. What we do is we have everything set up through a Google base. So there's always GChat, there's email, there's phone. And so to manage the firm, what I like to do is keep touching base with everyone all the time. It might seem like, oh, see, if you were just in an office, you could pop in. But at least we're always communicating. We're always on GChat with each other. We're always picking up the phone to call each other about questions. So the actual interaction that we have and the management that we have is, I feel, just the same, if not more so, than in a traditional office. Similarly, we'll have Google Hangouts, you know, so we can all see each other at least every other week, if not more frequently, about different clients or going, you know, for our staff meetings. So everyone is always informed, always in the loop. And I feel like that because of that, we have a really wonderful camaraderie because we're always communicating. So management really comes down to the communication between Rebecca and I as the partners and of our team.
That's really a great statement. It's true. I think you're right that if you can keep the communication going, then it makes a big difference. And one thing just occurred to me is, you use Google Hangouts, and we use Google Hangouts in our company as well for meetings. It must be a relief to know that it's such a child-friendly or parenting-friendly firm that even if the babies are gurgling or making noise in the background during a video hangout, that it's not going to adversely reflect on you in any way. Is that accurate?
It is. I mean, let's say, though, that if I have a client meeting or a meeting with opposing counsel, conference call with opposing counsel, I would prefer that my son, who is 4, is not sitting in the background banging his rescue bots together. That's not the most professional and of situations. So what we do encourage is having my team and myself set up a designated space to work in. So it's your office, whether it be a small corner of a room or you have a designated office in your house, it's your office, it's your space. And then for our staff that do have children, like myself, to set up designated childcare. That way you know, okay, between the hours of 9 to 5, I've got childcare. And I can make this work and I'm going to be extremely efficient during this period because I want to see my child, you know, before school, after school, when have you. At the same time, though, if your child does get sick, no one's going to complain. So, for example, last week, I walked my son into school. We promptly walked in the door, and then he vomited all over himself and the school. We promptly left. No one complained. No one's going to say anything. And I was able to go about and have conference calls with my staff all day with him playing in the background. So, yes, exactly. Just as you said, it's wonderful to work in a situation that, or in an environment that this isn't an issue. But at the same time, we are still lawyers, and there is a level of professionalism that I do implement when dealing with clients or opposing counsel, all of that.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. I was just thinking about also in some of the traditional law firm environments, you can't, you wouldn't be able to do that even with your colleagues. You know, you wouldn't be able to have a conference call at home with your child in the background with your colleagues. Forget about clients. I know clients are a totally different, you know, ball game. But so that's, that just sounds so refreshing to and safe, frankly, in terms of your environment.
It relieves a lot of stress. And there's a lot of parents out there who are attorneys. I mean, we are, that happens. So to have that kind of stress relief, to know, okay, I can still do my job without having to worry about that is really refreshing. And unfortunately, it happens to fall largely disproportionately on female lawyers.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, share with us a story. Do you have a story of how having a child was a challenge in your traditional law firm environment?
Oh, yes. I remember my son was, very young, maybe 5-6 months old. It's a little guy, and got sick being at daycare because that happens, and I kept having to bring him into the office because I couldn't take him to daycare, and my bosses, while trying to be very accommodating, at some point when, you know, this had gone on and off for 2 weeks, were just not pleased with me, I could tell. And the fact that it was adding on so much additional stress to the situation. Here I had this sick child. I had no idea what I was doing or how to care for this little infant, while having to maintain my law practice. The stresses on me were just so intense that it kind of just sets yourself up feeling like you're going to fail. And I think, and so frequently we do put so much, we put such a pressure on ourselves to be perfect that kind of stress just multiplies exponentially in those instances. So that, I mean, that was a prolonged example. Oh, it took place over a couple of weeks, but it really was my first example of what it was like to be a parent in this traditional law firm setting and what that was going to mean and how I was going to do it. And it was just such a eye-opening experience of, I don't know how this is going to work. How am I going to sustain this law practice, sustain being a lawyer, which is something I've always wanted to do, and be a parent at the same time? How can I reconfigure this? Was the thought I had at that moment.
Wow. And then what was the journey that then led you to leave the traditional environment and help start Geller Law Group?
Well, quite honestly, I left the traditional law environment for a few months. I had to take a break. I had been working a lot. I had no real support. And I had this child. So I took a couple months off and then, you know, I wanted to go back to working, try to figure out what else to do. So I happened to be talking to a good friend of mine from law school who said that Rebecca had started a firm as a sole practitioner, and she was looking to bring someone on. So I contacted her. We met for coffee, and we had an entire discussion about how this would work. How could we be parents and lawyers and have a fulfilling law practice? What had she set up what did she set up? Where did we think that this could go? So we decided to try it out and see what would happen. I started up with her, and it was supposed to start off as a part-time thing. Let's just see, maybe 16 to 20 hours a week. Really, within 4 or 5 months, because of our we're very good teammates, and because of our ability to work together, we grew the firm 400%, and I was working full-time.
Wow.
So that was a pretty exceptional growth within a quick period. We were able to play off each other's strengths, help each other's weaknesses, and really be able to service a lot of clients in this format, still maintaining our philosophy of wanting to have a work-life balance, being parents, being lawyers. So that's how this journey came. It really, when we started to grow so quickly, I didn't even realize it was happening until after, when I sat back and looked at what we had accomplished in the last, you know, the 6 preceding months, and saw, wow, we've really grown. We've reached so many more new clients. And the workload is not stopping. We've been very fortunate.
That is phenomenal. And really, kudos to you, because one of the biggest struggles for most new law firms, especially either solos or small firms, is the business development, you know, that initial phase of trying to grow and get your name and your brand out there. So it sounds like as a team, you guys have had exponential growth. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. And I will say that I handled much of the legal work that we're doing, the, you know, getting the documents out to the clients, doing the work. So the referrals that come in are that. But, you know, Rebecca has been instrumental in thinking new ways to get our name out of being that business development person. So in that respect, we have a great teamwork aspect to our partnership of letting us focus each on our strengths and really helping the firm grow. I would use the word that she's got a great Rolodex, but I realize people don't know what a Rolodex is nowadays. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, a great contact list.
Yeah, great contact list. That's it.
So you touched on this a bit about team efficiency. It sounds like you use Google to help and constant communication to help keep the team efficient. Is there any other things that you implement to, you know, ensure that the staff is working efficiently while working from home?
Well, you know, the fact that we are lawyers and we are billing time is a way for us to see what's going on. We do use billable software like Clio, which is a billing software. And we look and we check in with our attorneys about what they're billing and how much they're billing. So in that respect, we still can show or look at efficiency based on what the workload is and how it's coming out. We've been very fortunate that all of our attorneys are very, and our staff, our admin, are very self-starters, type A type individuals who, when they have a task, will go about and complete it. I think the type of person that wants to work in this environment is that type of person that says, I can sit down, work from home, get my work done, do it efficiently and effectively. And I recognize that this setup may not be for everyone, and that's not a bad thing by any means. It's just what someone can, you know, how someone works and how they can work best. But being able to still check in on billables, see that kind of, you know, how much are you doing, how long does it take you to do this kind of a job, is something that is specific to being a lawyer, but we can also check in on the efficiency in that way.
Oh, that's great. Now, you know, this whole concept is really about work-life balance. Would you say that you feel like you have found true balance?
It's always a work in progress. You know, there are days where I feel like I really have a balance. I've spent wonderful time with my son. I've done really great work. There are other days where I'm working a lot more, or, you know, on the converse, you know, conversely, I'm being a parent a lot more than being a lawyer. Maybe that's it. Maybe I have found true balance in the fact that some days I can swing the pendulum from one side to the other without the guilt, and knowing that I'm still being a lawyer and still doing a great job and being able to service clients and doing what I always wanted to do within the confines or within the redefined nature of the role. So maybe I have found true balance, though some days it doesn't feel that way.
I think you have. One of the best examples that I have heard about balance is just imagine standing on one foot. And if you really pay attention to it, you'll notice that there is constant slight readjustments back and forth. To keep you steady. And so as you described that, you know, there might be times when your parenting takes a precedence and might be other times when work takes a precedence, but that just sounds like that slight shift, you know, the slight shift back and forth to actually ultimately keep you standing. So it sounds like you really have found balance.
Well, thank you. In the way that you're phrasing it, absolutely.
You're like, oh, I like that. I'm going to start just using that more often.
Yeah, I'm going to use that from now on.
Well, the truth is, I think if we could just, all of us, if we could just get rid of the guilt, it would go a long way. All of us have been doing the absolute best that we can in whatever respective paths we've chosen. And it's this external pressure that I think makes people doubt themselves. And that added stress of the internal flagellation, it's just not worth it. Which actually brings me to one of my next questions, which is, do you think that women lawyers can have it all?
I absolutely think we can. I think we just have to redefine what having it all means. It might not be the corner office at a white shoe law firm partner, not it, but maybe it's the ability to do great work, doing what you've always wanted to do, and still being able to get out in time for the t-ball game or to the art class, if you, whatever you want to do that rounds you out. I know one of our attorneys, who's a fantastic attorney, really likes to teach bar class, and our schedule permits her to do that. I know I'm a certified yoga teacher. I'm not teaching right now. But again, there's that if I wanted to, I could have that ability and that balance to do so. So I think that we can have it all. I think it's just we have to think about what does having it all mean. And I think we have to take it out of that traditional concept of big law firm partner and put it into and redefine it for today. And utilize technology that we have to do so.
So beautifully said. And what I'm hearing in what you're saying is absolute self-determination, not letting society or tradition or anything like that dictate what it is that we want for ourselves, but to take the time to step back and truly contemplate what matters to me. So beautifully said, and what a great example you've provided of that. Now, quick question, though. What do your clients think about your setup?
Well, some of them might not know about our setup just because they never come into the office or we've never specifically told them. But the ones who did read the New York Times article, which was a surreal experience to be featured in the New York Times about how we set up a law firm, responded only with overwhelming support. We got so many emails saying, you know, we didn't know that this was your philosophy, this was your setup. We were happy to have you as our lawyer before. We are so glad that you are our lawyer now. And that was the resounding statement that we received from clients. We did not actually receive any negative statements from clients or a pull from work of existing clients following their reading of our New York Times article about how we are set up and the philosophy that we take, because I think our clients are normal people who think this is how I would want to structure my life. I want attorneys that understand this balance, are striving for this kind of a philosophy of a work-life balance, and I approve of this construct.
That is so great to hear. And, you know, I think one of the things that the New York Times article pointed out is you essentially keep costs low for the clients because you don't have unnecessary overhead, you don't have unnecessary face time, you know, which would then, it adds up, whether it's adding
up
with the electricity bill or what have you.
Oh, rent, overhead in an office. Absolutely.
This is fantastic. So any final thoughts before we wrap up this interview?
Yes, I would just like to say that I know we've focused on women in this conversation, but this is applicable to men too. It's just applicable to those of us in the legal profession about how we should go about trying to be parents and partners. It's applicable to both sexes, is all I want to say. It should not just be a woman-focused issue. It should be both.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. You're absolutely right. And what I love is that the newer generation of attorneys that are on the rise are continuously demanding something different. I want to commend you for all the work that you've done, for really setting and trailblazing a new path. I have a feeling that you're going to see a number of other attorneys following your footsteps. So kudos to you.
Oh, thank you.
Maria, Before we end, could you let our listeners know where they can find you, maybe share your website or some contact information?
Yes, of course. We're at thegellerlawgroup.com on the web. You can find us on Facebook at the Geller Law Group. You can email me directly at msimon@thegellerlawgroup. Any of those ways, we are accessible. I believe we even have a Twitter handle, which I think is
great.
Geller Lawyers, but I might be off on that one.
Well, I'm sure it's on your website somewhere.
It is.
Well, thank you so much, Maria, for joining us today. And listeners, let's keep this conversation going. Come find us on www.esquirecoaching.com. Hook up with any of our social media icons and tell us what you think about being able to have this type of work-life balance in your own lives. Until next time, be well, everyone.